Sam, this is a good example where an add-on is not a bad thing. This could be a third party that is expert at nesting. And so you'd rather have the real expert nesting software connected to your machinery versus maybe the ERP company trying to get into nesting. So it's not necessarily a negative as long as you're clear on what you're buying.
Growing a business requires a holistic approach that extends beyond sales and marketing. This approach needs alignment among people, processes, and technologies. So if you're a business owner, operations, or finance leader looking to learn growth strategies from your peers and competitors, you're tuned into the right podcast. Welcome to the WBS Podcast, where scalable growth using business systems is our number one priority. Now, here is your host, Sam Gupta.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the WBS Podcast. I'm Sam Gupta, your host and principal consultant at digital transformation consulting firm Elevate IQ. While you might feel that most ERP systems overlap, there is a clear distinction between desktop apps, single tenant, multi-tenant, and enterprise solutions. You might also need to pay attention to how many levels of BOMs are supported in the solution to ensure that you find an appropriate solution for your company. For example, most solutions that support industries such as food and beverage and automotive parts may not be suitable for complex manufacturing such as electrical vehicles and aerospace due to the lack of depth of their BOMs. Finally, make-to-stock planning is typically very different from make-to-order and engineering-to-order. One such solution is SysPro, which used to be a desktop app due to the underlying database. It has come a long way with its SQL Server migration and advancements in the underlying technology platform. It may also be one of the best solutions for smaller food and beverage manufacturers and distributors. In today's episode, we invited a panel of industry experts for a live discussion on LinkedIn to discuss major stories in the ERP and digital transformation space and an objective and independent review of SysPro's capabilities. We covered many grounds, including their marketing claims, especially about their transparency to their customers and their positioning in the appropriate market verticals. Finally, we discussed how SysPro could be a great solution for distribution and light manufacturing companies, but not so much for complex manufacturing, as it's designed to be a single tenant and serve in the a la carte mode. With that, let's get to the conversation. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's show. So for today, we have a vendor called SysPro, and we are going to be reviewing them. But before that, we are going to introduce all of our analyst. Phil, would you mind introducing yourself?
Hi, Sam. Hi, everybody. My name is Phil Kerper with Ringling Business Solutions. I've been in the C-suite for the last 20 plus years, leading mid-market businesses and implemented a lot of ERP projects and full implementations. And at Ringling, we help businesses connect their business plan to their digital transformation. It's great to be here today, Sam.
Okay, amazing. Thank you so much for being here, Phil. Dave, can I ask you to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Sam. Hey, everybody. My name is Dave Chrysler, and I own a company called the Chrysler Club, where we work with business owners in the manufacturing, construction, and cannabis spaces to help them create the systems needed to reclaim their life and grow their business. I come to you today with more than 20 years in the manufacturing space, working directly in operations with systems implementation, including ERP. So thanks for having me, Sam.
Okay, amazing. Thank you so much for being here, Dave. And Angela, can I ask you to introduce yourself?
Hi, Sam. My name is Angela Thurman. I'm the owner of Thurman Co., a project management company in Houston. I have approximately 30 years of project management experience, primarily in aerospace and telecommunications, and most recently spent 10 years at a large American aerospace company in supply chain, and so come to you with some ERP experience of my own. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much for being here, Angela. And I am going to ask Andy to introduce himself.
Thanks, Sam. My name is Andy Pratico. I have been working with ERP software for manufacturers for over four decades. I've worked with manufacturers all over North America, most of Canada, and about two-thirds of the U.S. states. I actually teach people how to evaluate ERP software, and I have a published book on that topic. And thank you very much for letting me participate today, Sam. Oh, by the way, I at one time I worked for SysPro as well, so I'm pretty familiar with the products.
Okay, so the very first story that we have is coming from our friends at Infor. And guys, if you have not followed Infor's story, I don't know if we were doing these sessions when Infor, we actually covered Infor's spinoff of their EAM product. I don't know if you guys remember that or not. I think that was sold to a company called Hexagon, if I recall correctly. And at that time itself, I sort of felt that there was something going to happen to Infor. They must be working on the broader strategy to realign their portfolio. And we have seen that, you know, that is true. So today, what they have done is they have acquired an MES solution that was a bigger gap in their portfolio. So in the Infor solution portfolio, there was a tiny sort of MES system, but it was not as comprehensive as their competitors. And sometimes that could be a huge hole for Infor compared to some of the other competitors, such as, you know, Apicor has very strong capabilities in terms of their MES. SysPro that we are going to cover today, they like to white label the Link solution. They have been white labeling a lot of different solutions. So a lot of different ERP vendors have their own way of approaching how they include the MES solution. In case of Plex, obviously Plex has its own MES solution, and then they have now a Rockwell solution. So obviously this whole industry 4.0 movement is obviously big, and companies need to do a lot more on the MES side, and that needs to be integrated with your ERP. So I think this is the right move overall for Infor, and I feel very excited overall, you know, because obviously Infor had very strong platform for everything else, but MES was there the gap. So here, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Lighthouse system. My understanding is that, you know, this is coming from Europe. I had not heard of this solution before. Andy, if you have come across the system, if you have any feedback, please.
No, I don't, Sam. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I read about it. The technology seems okay. I don't know how new that is, to be honest. Okay. So we are going to review the capabilities, but I'm pretty sure Infor has done the due diligence in terms of what they would expect in the kind of system they are trying to couple with their products. So here we'll read the commentary to see if we can find any insights here. So it is saying the transaction which has already closed will fully integrate, and that would be my expectation as well, that it is going to be full integration, ERP plus MES, and that's how they are going to actually sell the solution. And by the way, Infor has a lot of different products, so it's not entirely clear which product they are going to target first overall from the integration perspective, but my understanding is going to be they are probably going to be integrating this with all, especially the ones that are really positioned in the manufacturing space. And those would be your LN is the solution that is positioned in the manufacturing space, as well as your CSI. I don't know if they are also going to be doing with visual. There are a lot of different ERP systems that might be phased out from the Infor perspective, and that we are going to review in Infor session, but seems like they are going to be integrating this fully with their product. So here they are saying Infor Cloud Suite ERP systems. They have mentioned it as systems, and I don't know if this is coming from the solution review where we have got this verbiage. So I don't know if they remodified any of this text or this is really coming from Infor. So we are not sure about that. But the way it is positioned here is they are saying ERP systems, which I would interpret as, you know, it's going to be all of the products that might be positioned to manufacturing. They might be thinking about integrating that and help manufacturers improve their operations management effort across production. Sure, the MES system is accessible 24/7, can be deployed in the cloud or on premises, and is designed to connect a factory with a single thread of data accessible at the shop floor level and throughout the enterprise. Infor expects the integration of Lighthouse into its Cloud Suite ERP, but Cloud Suite ERP is the blanket term for all of the products that they have. So Cloud Suite ERP, we still need to know which product they are talking about when it comes to integration.
Well, just a comment there, Sam. By saying the Cloud Suite, it's kind of like Microsoft saying Dynamics. It's the same level. But that would disclude Visual, because Visual is not part of the Cloud Suite offerings.
Okay, thanks for the clarification. So my understanding is going to be, Andy, this is probably going to be LN and CSI. Those are going to be the go-to solution. M3 is not necessarily positioned for the core manufacturing, especially industrial manufacturing. So I don't know if they are going to be integrating with that, but we'll see what their approach is going to be. Okay, if you guys don't have any other commentary, I'm actually going to move to the next story. The next story that we have had tons of announcements from Gartner, and they have released their Magic Quadrant for a bunch of different categories. So number one is going to be their CPQ. And if you guys are not familiar with SAP CPQ offering, they acquired a product category or the product offering called, I believe it's Callidus Cloud, if I remember correctly. That's how they actually got really, really strong CPQ capabilities compared to what Salesforce would have. So they have very, very, very strong CPQ product, and that's why they have been able to maintain this ranking in Gartner. So by the way, if you actually look at the different vendors, for example, if you actually go to Oracle's website or Workday website right now, they all are going to have their names as part of these categories. So all the major vendors are probably included in these Magic Quadrants. So I don't know how much it really means, to be honest, but it's still important to pay attention to which category they are still able to maintain the leadership. So in this particular case, SAP has been able to maintain their leadership in case of your CPQ. They have been able to maintain for P2P suites as well for both, and that is going to be Ariba and Fieldglass. Okay, Ariba is their direct spend solution. Fieldglass is going to be indirect spend that is typically used in the recruiting, staffing kind of industries. And if you actually go to companies like Coupa, they are also going to have positioned in the Gartner Magic Quadrant. So both of the products, Coupa and Ariba actually compete head-to-head, and they both are positioned as the leader. The other Magic Quadrant that we have for is the SCM Suite. Obviously, this is going to be their SuccessFactors product that SAP has that competes with products like Workday, and they both are going to be competing head-to-head, and they both are part of the Gartner Magic Quadrant. So we have not included Workday and Coupa, but they both are part of the Magic Quadrant as well. Okay, if you guys have any commentary, we can check those. Otherwise, we are going to move to the last story of the day. And the last story is coming from our friends at IFS. And if you guys are not familiar with IFS, IFS does not really have as much presence in North America as of today, but they are moving aggressively. It's one of the most robust ERP solutions out there. We are going to be reviewing them. They compete in the enterprise space. It's a beautiful solution. So we are going to be reviewing their capabilities. And by the way, IFS compete a lot with Infor in the larger accounts, because the way IFS approaches the market, they are also going to be positioning themselves as the full suite offering. So we are going to be reviewing all of that. But right now, we are looking at their results. So they have mentioned that, driving strong performance in Q3 was the increase in customer demand for IFS in the cloud. The cloud revenue up, with cloud revenue up 104% year on year. Again, I think, a lot of these numbers are going to be inflated, in my opinion, because last year was COVID, and now, I don't know how down they were. So they are probably coming back to the normal, but I don't think we have seen 104% revenue increase with SAP or Oracle, if I remember, from our shows so far. So this seems fairly high in my mind. In line with this, recurring revenue now constitutes 81% of software revenue, representing a 19% increase year over year. So obviously, they are cutting down on their service revenue. This is the evolution of any of the enterprise software companies. They want to care more for the software license. They don't want to care for the service. And the more mature the company is, the less they are going to care
for the services, and they are going to be measured on that. Their investors are going to be measuring on whether you are growing in terms of your services or in terms of your license revenue. If you are growing in terms of your services, then most likely those investors are not going to be as excited. So these are the things that these bigger players need to prove, that, you know what, they are not growing in terms of the services. Here, the contribution of software revenue now represents 72% of the IFSS total revenue, up 17% year over year. So that's my take on IFS. So I am going to be, giving you a little bit of brief overall in terms of how CISPRO is positioned in the market. And as you guys may have seen on the LinkedIn post that we have done, and based on our assessment of different products that we have reviewed so far, okay, there are going to be three or four different categories of how these products are designed and their capabilities, again, unless they are overselling. Okay, overall, from the market positioning perspective, overall, from their capabilities perspective, they are going to fall in one of those buckets. And typically, from the product strategy perspective, none of the vendors want to oversell themselves. Okay, they always want to sell in the right verticals, because that's where they are going to get a lot more references. That's where they have the stronger chances of winning. So obviously, all of the companies want to compete in their sweet spot. So every solution, every vendor out there is going to have their own sweet spot. So when you look at the overarching picture of how the ERP products and vendors are positioned, number one is going to be, I call them as more of the desktop apps. They are not truly ERP solutions. And the reason why I don't call them as ERP solution, in my mind, when I look at any of the ERP solutions, typically they should have the basic data integrity from the technology perspective before we can call that as a real ERP. Until a company reaches roughly $10 million, nobody's serious about those companies, to be honest. I mean, even though we want to care for them, but at the same time, they don't really have appetite to be able to spend in the kind of IT that the other companies are going to require. But once you grow or get matured in your growth cycle, then obviously you need to do your sustainability planning that you are going to sustain as a business. You need to do a lot more things once you grow, let's say 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 million, 250 million. And the more advisors and investors that are going to be, partying with you, they all want to make sure that you have your ducks in the row. So here, in case of CISPRO, so desktop apps is one category, and that is going to be for solutions like, Global Shop, Pro Shop, that's going to be your Fishbowl, that's going to be your Mises. These are the solutions that really fall into that desktop app category. Then the second category is going to be really the single tenant category. Single tenant category is designed for smaller companies. It's not designed for companies that are going to be in, $100 million in revenue, $250 million in revenue. Again, unless you are overselling or you just believe that, somehow the solution is magically supposed to work, okay? These products are not designed for that purpose unless you are killing them. So in case of the single tenant, the fundamental assumption is that these companies are going to have just one entity, not the second entity, okay? So what they are going to have from the technology infrastructure perspective or from the architecture perspective, each of the databases are not going to be shared. They are going to be completely separate database. And when you have the complete separate database, how that helps overall from the technology perspective is there is no sort of data sharing between those databases. So scenarios such as when you are going to be sharing, let's say, the customers or vendors or purchase orders, or if you are going to have any sort of transactions between those entities, then, those scenarios will not be supported. So there are a lot of different, single entity solutions out there. Some truly represent themselves in the market, some don't. Okay, so the comparable here for CISPRO is going to be the single tenant solution, if I'm not off. And Andy, you can correct me. You have been in the market for far longer than I have been. But comparable for CISPRO is going to be CISPRO, SAP Business One, Microsoft GP, Infor Visual. These are going to be some of the comparable solution for CISPRO. If you are going to be comparing CISPRO, let's say with Global Shop or Pro Shop, it's an unfair comparison. Okay. If you are going to be comparing CISPRO with Infor Cloud Suite Industrial or Apicore, it's an unfair, or NetSuite for that matter. It's probably an unfair comparison. And the reason for that is Infor Cloud Suite Industrial, Apicore, they are designed as the multi-entity systems, meaning you can host multiple entities. Okay, sometimes they are going to be limited overall in terms of their capabilities, how many entities you can support, how many different localizations are supported, how many countries are supported, and each product is going to have its own evolution. And typically the way the product maturity curve goes is, especially in the enterprise software space. So today, let's say if you are bringing the multi-entity capability, and most of your customers are, let's say, in US and Canada, obviously you are going to support only two countries, okay? As the product matures, let's say the next country that you want to bring in is going to be, okay, where are all of my customers as SAP? So SAP is going to look at, you know, themselves in the mirror that, you know what, I am getting a lot of customers that have their offshore center in Japan. So Japan is going to be the next country that I am actually going to include in the product. So each product has its own life cycle, how they typically move. So we are not going to be talking about all of those, you know, solutions. Today, we are talking about the single tenant product, which means the data across the entities are not going to be shared. Now, they have a lot of limitations overall in terms of the way they work, because this market segment is very different. In most of the products that you are going to see in this specific market, they are not going to be providing you the full-blown product. That's the corporate strategy of every single company out there, okay? So what they are going to do is, just because, you know, companies cannot really afford to spend $100,000 per year, a lot of these companies. So what they do is they are going to follow the Spirit Airline model, okay? The business model. I don't know whether you guys are familiar with the Spirit Airline. So when you are going to be flying on American, you know, obviously you are going to be paying, I don't know, maybe $500, $700, you know, in your flight ticket. But when you are going to be flying on a Spirit, you are probably going to be paying $50, okay? And the only reason why you are going to be paying $50 because they have debundled these services, okay? You are not going to be paying for, you if you want food or water for that matter. You know, you have to pay for that on airline. And that's the mindset that these products follow when you are going to be talking about single tenant product. In fact, I mean, if you look at NetSuite or Acumatica, they have similar mindset. Even though NetSuite is going to have slightly more multi-tenant capability, Acumatica is trying to grow their capability in the multi-tenant. But that's the mindset the single tenant products follow overall from the technology capability and from the architecture perspective. Their pricing is going to be fairly bundled. They are not going to have similar pricing structure as your Infor, Apicore, SAP Business by Design, SAP S/4HANA. They have very different pricing because they are serving very different customers. Okay, if you guys have any comments, I can take that. Otherwise, I'm actually going to move to the first screen. Okay, so considering the market positioning of this specific product, the way Cispro likes to think, they are going to have similar mindset as your Infor or Apicore. They want to provide the last mile functionality as part of the product, even though from the product perspective, their strategy might be slightly different from, let's say, some of the richer products such as Infor, Cloud Suite Industrial, or Apicore. So here, they want to provide the last mile functionality for the four or five different industries. And Cispro does really, really well in these industries because the capabilities are really supported underneath. Again, if you are trying to go slightly off, if you are targeting some of the industries that are going to be hybrid of, let's say, if you talk about the electrical contractors that are actually selling in construction. So if that is the case, then you have a little bit of flavor of construction as part of your electrical the electrical contractor business. And if that happens, sometimes you sort of need the hybrid solution. So Cispro might not be able to provide the construction specific functionality. So some customers might suffer because of that. But overall, if you have slightly more simplified business, and if you are playing in these verticals, and you are not too far off overall from your size perspective, from your business model perspective, then you should be okay in these verticals. And that is going to be your automotive parts and accessories. That's going to be your electronics, food and beverage. And by the way, this may be one of the smallest solutions that food and beverage customers might be able to get that might support a lot of functionality that F&B needs that might not be available in any other similar size systems. For example, let's say if you go to Microsoft Business Central, if you go to your SAP Business One, you are not going to have the bells and whistles that this product is going to have from the food manufacturing perspective. So they do really well in case of your metal fabrication. Industrial machinery and equipment is slightly broader, I would say. There are places where they could work, but there are places they might not work. Packaging and plastic and rubber. By the way, guys, if you actually see the trend, you know, this is the similar trend that we have seen in case of QAD. That's what we have seen in case of Plex. That's what we have seen in case of the IQMS, the Dassault, right? If I remember correctly, they were targeting all of these industries, but maybe the plastics wasn't as strong for Cispro, but for IQMS, it was really, really strong because that was actually designed for plastic. So everybody has sort of their sweet spot, as they have very clearly. One of the things that I really like about Cispro is they are very clear in their documentation. If you look at their marketing material, they're extremely clear. They are not sort of calling that we can probably do multi-tenant. A lot of ERP vendors do that. But in case of Cispro is extremely clear. They are saying Cispro Cloud is a single-tenant software. It allows you to maintain and control the timing of upgrades. Okay, they are trying to sell that aspect. Obviously, that's a limitation. They are trying to position it as, you know, it allows you to control. That's not true. It's a single-tenant offering, guys. Okay, let's be clear about that. Obviously, it's hosted on Microsoft Azure. They have their own data centers as well, but, you know, they have Microsoft Azure. So obviously, you have that reliability. This is the, you know, the contract for 12-month period. The only vendor that I have personally seen doing this is going to be NetSuite. I have not seen any other vendors doing 12-month contract. Typically, they like to do 3 years or 5 years. By the way, I mean, there is pros and cons to both of the approaches. Okay, the companies that are actually trying to get foot in the door, it's going to be in their best interest to actually do the shorter contract because you don't leave the ERP system within 12 months. Nobody does that. Everybody is installing the ERP system for roughly 3 years, 5 years. But one thing that you don't want to do is you don't want to get the sticker shock after 12 months of the contract. So you want to lock the price as much as possible, especially if you are committing for the contract. But obviously, you are not going to have flexibility to move out of the solution if you are going to be locked for, let's say, 3 to 5 years. So that is the decision that you have to make for yourself, what is most appropriate. But in most cases, your 3 to 5 year contract is probably going to be most appropriate that I have personally seen. Okay, their support seems to be really good. They have really well established channel, and that's probably the reason why their documentation is really good compared to the similar smaller vendors that we have seen so far. Their documentation is really not clear overall from the marketing perspective, from positioning perspective. In case of Cispro, the documentation is really, really clear. The training is very clear because they have a very well-built channel, even though they have a direct model as well. But their channel is very strong. And that is probably the reason why they have grown so much. If I remember correctly, they have roughly what? 11,000 or 15,000 installations. Andy, you can correct me if that is not right. But that's my understanding.
No, you're about right. Just note that half of those are in South Africa.
Yeah. So on that note, yeah, we have to keep in mind that this is a very South African company. And typically, that's going to be a red flag for the solution as well. So if the solution is going to be specifically designed for a country, then you are going to get a lot of flavors from there, to be honest. Now, I have personally not experienced this solution or implemented this solution ourselves. So we don't know how much flavor you are going to get for South Africa. But let's say if you are looking at a solution from Israel or Mexico, you are going to get very different language. Sometimes that could be a shock for a lot of people because they are going to be speaking very different language. So Andy, I don't know if you have heard any issues related to this, but typically in my experience, if any solution is going to be really foreign, even for SAP, it's very European.
Well, the development's all done in South Africa. However, they have such a strong following in North America, it is very North Americanized.
Okay.
Yeah, and two comments. First of all, I do believe Wikipedia said 15,000, but I don't know how aged that is as far as customers. If you read the news that's on Cispro's website, go to the news section, in the last 6-9 months, they have added a lot of new executives, senior executives in California to their U.S. operations. So they're certainly investing in the U.S. operations from a people standpoint.
Yeah, so great catch, by the way, Phil, there, because, you know, when you have the executive churn, and they have replaced, I think, their sales executive in last 1 or 2 years, their American CEO is really new. So there is a lot of churn in the executive team. I don't know why that is, to be honest, but that is typically a red flag overall from the company perspective. That company is probably not doing well, and that's why they have to replace so many different executives, you know, in last 2-3 years.
Like one comment on this, on your last paragraph under Syspro Cloud, it comments about for application support, a customer can elect to sign a support contract with a Syspro channel partner. And that is absolutely true. They rely on the channel partners to provide that quote unquote hotline support. But the quality of that support is going to be dependent upon the specific partner, right? Some are great, some are sometimes not quite as great.
Yeah, but you always have an option to go direct with Syspro. That's my understanding, Andy, based on the documentation that I have
read. For hotline support?
Yeah, you can do that. I mean, that's what I mean. We are going to see in the reviews as well.
Okay, that would be
one of the reviews. They particularly said that they were unhappy or they just weren't satisfied with the SI and they switched over to direct support from Syspro.
Okay, that would be a new thing then. Well, good for them.
Okay, so I am actually going to move to the next screen here. If you guys don't have any other comments. So this is where the single tenant, this is how to spot the single tenant feature, to be honest. Okay, so one of the things that you are going to pay attention when you are looking at your demo is here, you have to, you know, input your username, you have to input your password, but the third line says company, okay? When it says company, so there are going to be 2 or 3 different solutions. In some cases, they say tenant. When they say tenant, a tenant can have multiple companies. In their case, in case of Syspro, they have worded it as company. A company is different than your tenant. A tenant can have multiple companies, but a company would mean that they just have one company. We are going to further validate this by looking at some of their menus. And here, typically, if you are going to look at, you know, NetSuite, Acumatica, and if you are you know, trying to find if that is going to be really the multi-company, the product is going to have multi-company support or not, here at the top, you are going to have an option to switch between different companies or branches. Some companies, some systems also support the branches. If they are slightly more retail-centric, distribution-centric, because they might not have their balance sheet, they could have just P&L. They have different ways of doing how they like to define their chart of account, how they like to define their company. But in this particular case, they are clearly segmenting these two companies, and that's how you identify whether the solution is going to be single-tenant or multi-tenant. So if you look at solutions like, you know, SAP Business One, Microsoft GP, all of them are going to have a company drop down at the login, and you are not going to have an option to your right when you log into your homepage to be able to search among your companies or branches. That's the easiest way to find out. And they are very upfront and clear that I am not the multi-company solution. I'm really the single tenant solution. If you look at their quality of code, to be honest, I am impressed. The smaller solution it is, to be honest, I mean, Syspro is really, 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 really small overall from the solution perspective. But if you look at their, you know, development, the development is almost like SAP. If you compare this with SAP Business One, you will probably have slightly similar feel in terms of the technology development stack and overall look and feel, the way product is architected, the way the product is designed. So it's very impressive overall, you know, the way their menus are, the way their screens are. Now, you know, they are also extremely clear overall in terms of their capabilities. I know that, you know, some people might say that, you know what, they are only going to support bill of materials up to 15. So that is the system limit that they have, that if it is going to be more than 15, then I cannot support you. But that should give you a rough figure in terms of how to evaluate the system when you are going to feel that you have outgrown the system. Now, Phil, we were talking in the pre-show that, you know, you are probably never going to have, you know, more than 15 levels in case of your bomb, unless you are, you know, doing some sort of spaceship, you know, or doing aerospace or, you know, electric vehicle, right? Even in their case, they might not have 15 levels, but how you should be thinking about this, if the 15 is going to be the limit of the system, you don't want to go to 15. Okay, that's the technical limitation. So you want to be, let's say, at the 30%, 50% 70% CPU level. So let's say you have very lean manufacturing, this system is going to be a great fit. If you have very complex manufacturing, if your bombs are complex, then this system may not be the right fit, because the system is going to be far slower when you are going to have those complex bombs. So that's how you should be interpreting this. And by the way, SysPro is really designed for slightly more lighter manufacturing. It's not designed for complex manufacturing. And that's how they have identified their verticals. If you look at the verticals, they are very clearly saying that, you know what, I am going to go in the food and beverage. I'm going to go in plastics, where you have slightly more lighter manufacturing. They have not identified aerospace as their go-to industry, even though some partners or the or the sales reps may have sold to aerospace, but that's not the target vertical.
Go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, and just supporting some of your earlier comments, Sam, it's really helpful when they give you a number. This is, I believe, the first ERP system we've reviewed that gave a number of how many levels they can go on bombs. And some of them that we reviewed implied they could do multi-levels, but when you really looked at it, you weren't sure whether they really could. So it's kudos to these guys for putting that. And that 15 is a big number. It's what they're basically saying is we can handle very complex builds. Andy?
Yeah, that's all true. And SysPro can, just like a lot of systems can. SysPro's strength has always been in its accounting and distribution level of software. That's where it came from. That's its roots. It certainly has evolved a fairly strong manufacturing following throughout its growth. However, to your comment, Phil, anyone that's willing to say they're good for 15 levels, I think that's kind of a backwards compliment, because I don't know anybody that with 15 levels of a bill of material.
It's a big number, no doubt.
Yeah, I think it's more saying that we can handle complex, and whether they can or not isn't debated by that statement.
But and tell me a little bit more about the finance background, because in some of the reading I did, Andy, they were actually having a third-party finance package early in their journey, is what I read, or did I get that wrong?
I read it last night. You could be right, but there's lots of reviews out there for every ERP in the market.
Yep.
But SysPro has always, they have very strong financials.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with Andy. I mean, based on their South African roots, it was always a very, in fact, if you actually look at the solution, I get a feeling of SAP when I look at SysPro, to be honest. When you look at the core product, the way their finance is done, and we are going to review some of those features. I think Andy is right overall in terms of their finance capabilities and the distribution capabilities. They're really strong in distribution. So I'm actually going to move on with some of the comments here. So multiple recovery rates per cost center, work center employee, they have a very nuanced features and these might not be available in a lot of different systems that I have seen. For example, look at the multiple routes for lead time, cost, and contingency modeling. Now, I think this is going to be applicable for a specific type of industries. But again, they have very specific feature set that some of these industries are going to require. I have not seen rate and block runtime in some of the other ERP systems that we have reviewed so far.
And block runtime mean?
I don't know. Maybe Dave or Phil or Angela may have some insight into that. I have not seen that before. That felt very unique. So that could be related to any specific industry, I guess.
I'm going to guess on this one, Angela. Maybe you know for sure. But it's unit rate and block runtime. It looks to me to be a different way of grouping or capturing costs.
My understanding of this is going to be that they are probably able to report the time in blocks. They are saying the runtime that you actually report on your BOM when you are actually reporting your labor hours or the machine hours, that you can probably do it in unit or you can do it in block. Angela, Dave, what are your thoughts?
So I was thinking that when you're doing your production capacity planning, you can report it at the unit as a rate or as a block for capacity planning. So for either your employees or machine time.
Okay, so what specifically does block mean?
I'm thinking a block of of units.
Yeah. So guys, I'm actually going to move along if you guys don't mind, because we are getting a little bit in weeds, but we are going to be reviewing some of the unique capabilities that we have found in case of Cisco. So the other things that we are going to be looking at is going to be the percentage and planning bills. And that's the reason why they are able to work in case of your food and beverage and plastics industry that you are not going to find in a lot of other discrete solutions. For example, your AFICore, even though Inform might claim that they can work in the process industry, but this is really designed for your process industry, food and beverage, so they can support all of those capabilities. The other thing I noticed, I have not found an ERP system that can actually support phantom parts, okay? So the phantom parts is a very unique functionality. So for example, let's say if you go to industries like, sign making, or the industries that are going to be the overlap of your construction and manufacturing, the way their estimation works is they don't want to have all of these parts in their ERP system because some of these parts may be one off. So the limitations of, the mainstream ERP systems, whether you talk about SAP Infor, AFICore, you have to have the parts in the system first. And I don't know, I'm not too sure about Infor Visual. Maybe Infor Visual actually had that capability because, Infor Visual was installed in a lot of job shops. But yeah, Phantom, so the Phantom is a very specific functionality that is going to be applicable in the engineered to order shops. And that is not supported by a lot of different discrete manufacturing solutions, even though they might claim that, I can work for anybody. But when you are going to be doing your estimating billing, you are going to struggle. So the phantom part functionality is really critical, especially in case of your engineer to order.
My experience is that the big guys all have phantom capability once you get to your third category that you're talking about. To have that capability in this category is very interesting. And the other thing Phantom does is it allows control of different parts of the manufacturing process without double costing when you roll it up.
Yeah. So obviously, Phil, you are going to have every single capability under the sun, to be honest, when you look at three different solutions. That is going to be your S4HANA. That's going to be your Oracle ERP. And that is going to be your Microsoft Dynamics FNO.
Okay, absolutely.
Those three solutions are going to have pretty much everything because, some of these enterprises are going to require so much. So they are obviously the outlier. But one thing that we don't want to do is we don't want to install Microsoft FNO in a, 10 people shop or 15 or 100 people shop. That could be overkill in my opinion. So, okay. So Phantom parts, typically, if you look at the mid-market solutions, that is typically not supported in your discrete, solution. So that's a key feature, especially in case of your engineer to order. The co and buy products is again, a slightly more advanced feature. A lot of mid-market solutions offer that, but not a lot of, mid-market solutions are going to have. The distribution solutions don't even have the subcontract operations. Okay. A lot of them. Okay. You will see that. So, Cisco has that, which is a great addition. The bill of materials feature, some of the things that I found super exciting, percentage of parent, percentage of specific quantity. Okay. That is going to be a very specific feature in case of your food and beverage, chemicals, process industries, because they have to change your formula based on these percentages, and they have very complex formulas. Sometimes they have to have the PLM solution to be able to find these formula. Sometimes their ERP system cannot support the kind of capabilities they require for these formulas. So that's a very unique capability, and that's the reason Cisco is probably the ideal solution for those smaller food manufacturers and chemical manufacturers. They have the quotes and estimates, guys. So they have their CPQ. I don't know if they utilize add-on. Andy may be able to comment on that, but they do have the configure to quote functionality supported as part of the product.
Yeah, they use a third-party configurator, but the interesting thing is that you can't. It's interesting that you have to use separate lines if you're quoting the same finished product with multiple quantities.
Okay, very interesting comment there. So guys, one of the case study that I could find in case of your metal fabrication industry, okay? So they have a very specific data sheet or the case study, and this was the only industry that I could find. So maybe, their sweet spot is really metal fabrication. We have not seen metal fabrication in the other ERP solutions so far, maybe they do really, really well in case of metal fabrication, and they have a lot of functionality that is going to be really important for the metal fabrication industry. And in that industry, if you have been in any of the steel industry, you know how much the material price fluctuation means to them and how much you need to plan around that. And these guys actually support that as part of the product, which is a big deal. They have what if costing during quotation and estimating processes. So obviously any of the metal fabrication companies that are going to be slightly more, I would say, engineer to order centric, they are going to do really well, you know, with Cisco. They'll really appreciate the kind of functionality this has. This is going to be fabrication shop environment requires multi-skilled operators. We have seen a lot of issues overall in tracking the certificates, in tracking the multi-skilled operators, even in case of your automotive parts distributors, even though a lot of solutions might claim that they really work for automotive. But when it comes to tracking those, you know, certifications and doing the scheduling based on the certification, that's a hard lift for a lot of different solutions. And Cispro seems to have that capability built up just because the kind of, you know, industries they are targeting. Job sequencing, grouping of similar products to reduce scrap and improve efficiencies. Again, job sequencing is a very, very, very unique feature. Not a lot of, even your mid-market solutions are probably not going to have that. They have that, you know, nesting as part of the product. That's probably going to require some sort of add-on. That's going to be, you know, part of your CAD solution or the CAD add-on. In case of Cispro, they have that built as part of the product, which is phenomenal.
Sam, it looked like on that nesting feature, it did look like that was still a bolt-on that they were integrating with, from what I saw.
Okay, yeah. So this could be tricky overall, you know, I would say in case of Cispro, because they have a lot of offerings. They are selling as the white labeled solution. So sometimes it could be hard whether it is really their product. And we have seen this issue in their reviews as well, that sometimes what is going to happen is, you know, they were using somebody else's quality module, then they had to drop, then they had to use something else. And now you are under the contract. And, you know, even though you are still using Cispro, but now you are using a solution that is probably not going to be as seamlessly integrated as it would if they actually owned the solution. So that's where you need to really pay attention to who is owning that solution. And if the vendor is really being true to their words, they will highlight that. Okay, they will name them out in the contract, even though they might say that, you know what, I'm using Link as my MES, but they will say Cispro Link. Okay, so pay attention to that and do a little bit of research when you go, okay, what is Link? Link is a standalone MES that is present in many different ecosystems, even though Cispro is selling as their own product, but that's not their product. Somebody else owns it.
That certainly supports their a la carte or Spirit Airlines type of strategy, right? To have those add-ons versus everything in their core branded software. But back to your information, whoever put that case study together was absolutely had their hands on that implementation, because that's a technically deep description of the problems and the solutions on a manufacturing floor that they put there. It's very impressive.
Yeah, could not agree more. This is what I personally like to see. You know, the more specific you are, the more I am going to appreciate. So good point, Phil, there. Now, I am actually going to move to some other features that are very unique in case of Cispro. For example, inventory families. I have not seen this feature in a lot of different software. Inventory family are going to be super relevant in your food and beverage business, because you need to do your SKU planning at the parent level. Sometimes the individual SKUs are going to be too much. So you require inventory family supported as part of their core SKU scheme so that you can really plan. So that is what is actually supported by Cispro, which is very impressive. Forecast at various levels in the family hierarchy, grandfather, father, child. Multi-level analysis, and this actually you know, reinforces Andy's point when he said that this was really the finance and distribution solution. So they really have very strong distribution functionality as part of the product, and, you know, in some cases retail as well, to be honest, because they are going to need all of these bells and whistles.
The previous screen showed ABC costing, Sam.
Yep.
And that's just an example of the strength of their financials, right?
Could not agree more. You are absolutely right. Yep. And that is it. By the way, the activity-based costing you are going to find in case of SAP as well. So it's a very, very, very SAP-like product, to be honest. Okay, so they have some more things, forecasting algorithms, including a competition method, which automatically selects the best algorithm for the collection, I think that's a very advanced feature that I have not seen in a lot of different distribution software. Maybe SAP Business by Design or B1 does, but because they are positioned as more of the financial and distribution solution as well, not purely manufacturing. Group warehouses for the purposes of forecasting at a regional or territory level for logistical or supply chain purposes. Okay, this is a very distribution-centric functionality. If you don't have that, you are going to find it hard to run your distribution business. You have to have this. Okay, so again, validates Andy's point that this is a very distribution-centric solution. Detect seasonality and apply forecast to seasonal data if present. Again, very, very, very food and beverage, distribution, automotive, in fact, I mean, because automotive has a lot of seasonality that they need to support. And that's the reason why they are targeting those industries that are going to require all of this. Okay, I am actually going to move to the next screen. Here, guys, this is real deal. I'm telling you, like, they have mock recall. I did not see mock recalls, even in case of Plex, which is really designed to be an automotive solution. Okay, here, this is a real deal overall in terms of the recallability feature. And the reason why they might have the support for mock recall is because a lot of food and beverage vendors, they need to be far more regulated in comparison to your automotive, even though automotive might claim that, you know what, they are very regulated. But in case of, you know, food and beverage, FDA is watching. So you really need to have the data that you have, those capabilities supported as part of the product that I have not seen in a lot of different products. So the traceability is really strong. The recall management is very strong. That has a, you know, bits of functionality that you need if you are going to require the recall functionality. The time limit is critical in case of your recall because you are mandated by the regulatory authority and they have that feature supported as part of this. Okay, some other things I have seen is multiple dates supported as part of your lot or serial numbers that I have not seen in a lot of different solutions. Okay, if you are going to see a pharma solution is going to have far more requirement. For example, in case of pharma, they need your lot and serial number both. Okay, typically, if you look at any of the vanilla ERP system, they are going to say, you know what, either you are lot control or you are serial number control. And if you require both, then you need to use some sort of shortcut workarounds in the product. Sometimes they work, sometimes don't. So this is a very key functionality for agriculture that the products that are going to have shelf life, food and beverage, automotive also have a lot of shelf life requirements, for their products.
So Sam, I thought that this was very robust and I could think of lots and lots of examples where this could be implemented. I agree with you that this is very impressive.
Yeah, I agree. If you guys don't have any other comments, I'm actually going to move to the next screen. So guys, I believe their quality module that they have is really the add-on. They are selling somebody else's solution as far as the documentation goes. It's going to be a white-labeled solution, and we are going to see this as part of their review that they don't really have the quality built as part of the product. And even in case of the white labeled solution, some of that is going to be part of your license. But in that also, you are going to have a bunch of add-ons that you are going to require. Okay, so it's add-on to add-on. So obviously, pay attention to those things when you are looking at the contract. Okay, which product has what capability and what you are getting as part of your license. And in case of Cispro, it could be very difficult when you are looking at this very complex price matrix and you need to figure out, okay, what is where and what is going to be my price. It could be extremely challenging, but that is designed for purpose for buyers who don't feel comfortable spending $1,000 on the American Airlines. They have to go with the Spirit mindset. Again, guys, you know, there's nothing free, but it's just a different business model. So pay attention to these things when you are buying.
And Sam, just to echo that, both when you're buying as well as during discovery, ask follow-up questions when you say, can it do something? And they say, yes. Then say, okay, is that out of the box? Is that an add-on? Ask additional questions so you're clear on what exactly they're proposing, both before you sign the contract as well as coming out the other side of discovery.
Not only that, Phil, but if you're interested in some of these products, ask the VAR, the reseller you're dealing with, do they have experience with those products? Because, or else you're going to be getting finger pointing all over the place.
the best thing you guys can do, and I have seen a lot of implementation failing when you ask that question, whether it is add-on or third-party, sometimes you have a little bit room that salespeople can sort of utilize. So the best thing to do is get in writing who is the owner of each pieces of the code, okay? So get that in writing, whether you own it or a third party owns it. If they are going to be white labeling, get that in writing, read the contract. Contract is where the truth lies. Sometimes companies don't even know how to write their contracts. They would claim the solution as their own when they are not supposed to be doing that. But then that is going to be a contract breach, so you have a lot of leverage. But as long as you are paying to either attention to your contract and paying attention to the ownership of the code base. Ownership is the keyword. Add-on third party is great. Ownership, who owns the code, is the right way of looking at things. Okay, so we are looking at some of the other nesting capabilities. I believe this is the add-on. I guess you guys also mentioned that nesting capabilities coming as part of their add-on that they might be selling as part of the white labeling solution. But seems like they have the nesting capabilities as part of the product. So even if it is going to be white labeled add-on, if it is going to be seamlessly integrated with their core product, obviously they have a leg up compared to other products that don't provide nesting functionality as part of their product.
And this is, Sam, this is a good example where an add-on is not a bad thing. You know, this could be a third party that is expert at nesting. And so you'd rather have the real expert nesting software connected to your machinery versus maybe the ERP company trying to get into nesting. So it's not necessarily a negative as long as you're clear on what you're buying.
Exactly. So here's the comparison. I mean, we saw in case of Apicore just actually, integrated with the third-party solution, and they were trying to claim that they integrated that because of the nesting capability, right? So if you are going to have that add-on versus Syspro is going to be superior just on this feature, okay? Focus on just on this feature. If you look at both the solutions, then Syspro is probably going to be better. But Apicore may be far superior in several other capabilities. So depending upon what your real risk is and what your business model is, what your critical success factors are, you really need to go at the line level to be able to evaluate.
And what I was referring to was this last line that you've got highlighted on this slide in terms of it integrating. I'll let you cover it, but that's really what I was referring to with my earlier comment.
Import, export.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it does not say it is add-on, to be honest. I mean, it says that, you have some way of sort of getting the data inside the system. That's how I would read it. Because obviously, when you are dealing with hardware, it's a very hard lift. You are not going to have everything, as part of your package. So they are at least providing some sort of, either APIs or the interfaces so that you can manage your process, which is going to be superior than some of the other products where you are relying on completely third-party product that is going to be owned by somebody else. And if they are going to lose that relationship, then you are obviously going to be in trouble. Okay, so I'm actually going to move to the next screen. So here, this is also very detailed screen. Here, they have additional traceability for lots can be added for easy identification. Scope of product recall by specifying affected customer sales orders and jobs. Again, that's very deep, guys. I have not seen this kind of functionality in a lot of different ERP systems that we have reviewed. And this is what you actually need when you are running a food business. Trust me, you will not be able to survive if you don't have these features. So kudos to them that they are being very expressive.
They have a very good reputation for the food and beverage, especially for the smaller type companies, but very good reputation.
I agree. Here, the reporting is also they have the quarantine report, recall report, customer recall report, mock recall report. I have not seen this kind of functionality with the other solutions that we have reviewed so far. Okay, so now we are going to look at a little bit of technology. And technology is always the most important part of an ERP system. So as we all know, we have reviewed systems like Global Shop. We have reviewed systems like, ProShop, Fishbowl, and, even QuickBooks. I think they rely on the NoSQL database because that actually reduces the memory footprint, or they are going to be relying on the file-based database. When you are going to be using these databases, then you are going to have significant problems overall in terms of your transactional integrity, your data integrity, and that we are going to find in reviews how much the Syspro users have struggled. But Syspro as a solution has come a long way. They have figured this out that if I want to be a mainstream ERP, and this I call as Cisco is one of the first ERP, the real ERP solution that your business can have once you grow to, let's say, you know, $5, $8, $10 million, when you want to create a sustainable business model, then you need to figure out, I need to have an ERP system that can really take me to 30, you know, 40, 50. Let's say if you are not planning to be 30, 40, 50 in the next 5, 10 years, then you can probably live on Cisco. So here what they have done, they have really migrated to SQL Server. And this is a similar strategy that SAP had followed to move their customers to HANA. Okay, HANA is a very different database. It's far superior appliance, guys. Okay, don't compare SQL Server with HANA. Okay, and that's why you pay far more to SAP, because that's designed for slightly more heavy hitting businesses. Okay, here, the only thing they have done is they have moved to the SQL Server. SQL Server is amazing. There's no question about that. Most of the ERP system out there, they are probably going to be utilizing either SQL Server, you know, or Oracle in case of Oracle. But again, that's not HANA, guys. Okay, so in case of SQL Server, the SQL, they have removed a lot of different problems. That was part of this file-based database. And one of the problems their users were struggling with the re-indexing. And because of the re-indexing issue, what they had to do is the users had to be kicked out from the database. They could not work in the system. So the system was going down for a very long time, guys. Okay. So in the version 6, they had introduced SQL Server, I believe. Okay. But in the 7, they had both. They had the file system and SQL Server running in parallel because they could not move all of their customers to SQL Server. In version 7, my understanding is that they are pure SQL Server, but not a lot of customers are willing to move to SQL Server because that's a little bit of transition curve. I don't know how hard that move is. A lot of people have complained about their patching. A lot of people have complained about their untested code, and we are going to review all of that in the reviews, that they have had real technology challenges. But what impresses me about them is there's a really small solution, to be honest. Okay, it's probably not going to be as expensive, and they are at least giving the SQL Server. That's commendable, guys. Okay, anything else did I notice here? Okay, if you guys have any comments, I can take those. But primarily, the issues that you are going to see here are going to be the index rerun, and then your data integrity are two major issues that I think you are going to have with when you are going to be with desktop apps, such as your Global Shop, your Pro Shop, Fishbowl, Mises. Those, you know, QuickBooks, they are not designed to run your transactional business. Let's be very clear about that.
And just, you didn't mention it, Sam, but they listed all of their newer products on the bottom of that slide. And they're saying those are only available options with the SQL Server platform, right? On the bottom.
Yes.
So yes. Very common, right? That when you go to a right where if you're going to go to a new architecture, that you would have your new products only be on that architecture, kind of force the issues of your legacy customers to move.
Exactly. You got this right. So they are intentionally not supporting some of the advanced features and the products on the legacy products so that the customers can move. Every vendor has done that. So kudos to Cisco that they are doing that. And in my mind, all of the customers should move to SQL Server because that's better for you. Okay, so I'm actually going to move to the next slide. So we are going to check some of the reviews. Here, this is one of the ERP systems which uses Java as the programming language. Okay, guys? So we don't know a lot of ERP systems in the market that use Java. I believe NetSuite is on Java. Obviously, any of the Oracle products are going to be on Java. Any of the IBM products are going to be on Java because that's their, you know, they own the language. But, you know, other than that, if you actually look at in the market, so some of the ERP systems such as, you know, the only ones that I have seen in the market, Infor M3 is on Java. Okay. Now Cisco is actually on Java. So overall, you know, Java is kind of your enterprise language, right? That's what most enterprise use. Obviously, it's going to be the most secure, but it's also going to be most expensive. So just, and .NET and, you know, Java, they are fairly comparable. But overall, from the skill set perspective, let's say if you are hiring an ERP developer, and if you're going to be using Cisco, if you move from, let's say, your SAP to your Infor CSI, then you are probably going to have the .NET to .NET transition. But in this particular case, it's going to be .NET to Java. That could be a very significant transition. Just to keep things in mind, you know, it's not a big deal, but they do use Java as the technology platform. In some cases, if you're going to be using PHP, then I am probably going to put a red flag because PHP is not really designed. Node.js has developed a lot of server-side application, they have come a long way, but PHP is not the language that you should be using for the server-side programming. At least I have not seen that so far. Now, the installation isn't smooth as I hoped. Okay, it could use some pre-made printed forms. It tends to be slow. Slowness is going to be there depending upon, you know, this review is coming from 2018. I don't know which version she was on. The slowness could be an issue, and this is what you are going to experience. So even though they have claimed that, you know what, I can support up to 15 levels in BOM. Okay, if you are going to hammer the SysPro with 15 levels, obviously it is going to be slow, guys, because that's their peak. Okay, but if a vendor is claiming that they can support up to 250, which is probably not going to be hammered as much when you are, let's say, going to go to 6, 10, 12. So that's how you should be thinking about these things, that even though you are looking at a demo, you are not actually doing the test with your actual data. Once you put your data, then you will realize how slow the system is going to get. So obviously these issues are going to be there. I don't know which interface she was using, so we are not going to call them out on that. I think the screens look fairly decent. The interface isn't as bad. Here, this is coming from the plastics industry. Their projects and contract module is not as good as either ERP systems. I have used tracking by project for sales and purchases is cumbersome as it uses jobs as the connecting point for the projects and not the project ID itself. So here's my take on this one. So when you look at the plastics industry, even the plastics industry could be very broad overall from the how plastics industry works. So if you're going to be slightly more injection molded, you know, parts, very small distribution centric business, then SysPro could be amazing. But when you are going to move to slightly more engineered order plastic molding, then maybe it's not the right fit. So again, you need to understand how the product technology is developed and for what it is developed. In their case, it's a very light manufacturing distribution centric companies that should be utilizing, unless somebody is overselling or somebody is mispositioning their product. They do not have a way to have a system to allow non-stock part codes to be kept in a table that you can use in purchasing that go to a particular GL code, which you can use over and over again. It only has the stocking items, and all items in a warehouse go to that warehouse GL code. So my understanding from this statement is going to be the user did not know what she was doing, to be honest. When you are going to have the parts, okay, the parts, especially when you are talking about non-stocked parts, and these are those phantom parts, okay? So phantom parts are going to have these specific limitations. You are not supposed to be writing in your accounting because that's phantom. That's throwaway part. Okay, so I think what she has realized is, you know what, I was trying to do some accounting, but the phantom is not doing the accounting. So I think user is the problem, not the software. It's not used for the right purpose. Similar to above, the GL coding is not on the product, but on the warehouse. Again, I think this is the user is the problem here. It is great for a job shop environment. It can work well with a process manufacturer. Again, job shop, when you say job shop, could mean a lot of different things. So if you are a lighter job shop, you know, then it could work. If you are an aerospace job shop, probably not.
What I find really interesting about this review is that, you know, she's mentioned a few things that, of course, whether they're her fault or not, that she's not happy with. But at the top, it's a 10 out of 10.
I noticed that too, Andy, and was going to bring it up.
I don't pay attention to those things, guys. I don't even see it because we know how reviews work. So I am only going to pay attention to the language, and I am going to be validating whether the user was, you know, credible enough to be able to put a credible review. I don't even look at the ratings, to be honest. Okay, but look at the language. So here, okay, so I have made your job easier. I have hidden the review, the rating. So the only thing you have is the language, right? So here, through several resellers for your support functions, however, we now move to SysPro Corporate. And this is where that comment is coming from, Andy, that, you know, they have the corporate, technical support. And this, my understanding is this is a fairly recent review, somewhere in 2018 as well. So they do provide the corporate support. The SysPro interface is highly customizable and nicely laid out. I will give you points for that. I have not seen an interface as customizable as SysPro in its category. Okay. Again, it has a very SAP feeling in terms of the way your Sarbanes-Oxley is going to work, the kind of requirements you are going to have. For Sarbanes-Oxley, you do require those configurable feature in terms of your screens, in terms of your financial reporting. So here, I think SysPro does support, and that speaks for that, you know, they were truly a distribution and finance-centric solution to begin with. The CISPRO forms and reporting templates are easy to customize, modify. Here, the security groups and roles are difficult to navigate and bake when trying to determine what user. This we have seen in a lot of products, okay? So this is always a challenge when the product is designed more from the technical perspective. The only product that I have seen designed from the business perspective is going to be SAP. Okay, from the user security perspective, it's really smooth, guys. Okay, because they actually plan their product before they do anything, before they do their development. That costs a lot of money. Not everybody has that kind of money. That's why SAP costs a lot of money as well. Okay, so obviously you are going to have those issues, but you know, companies have figured out how to get around that. Purchasing versus purchasing manager, sure. I mean, you are going to have some issues, but you know, you should be able to figure that out. Performing upgrades has been consistent across the reviews that upgrades for some reason are really, really difficult, even though CISPRO is trying to sell that upgrades are going to be easy because you are single tenant. But in their case, there is something going on that I am not able to figure out. Okay, their patches, their upgrades have been really nerve-wracking. That's what users have reported. So that's something either, you know, their code merge is not as smooth, or they are asking their customers to do a lot more heavy lifting, or they are not really cloudy from the technology or infrastructure perspective. That's why customers have to do so much heavy lifting in the code merge. Updates, your company that needs to maintain. So this user is saying that if you are, you know, and this is what they are saying. This is the AF9100 shop. Okay, yeah. So they are saying if you require that, then you have to use CISPRO. And I agree with that assessment. You don't want to go with solutions like GlobalShop, ProShop, because they are not designed for that purpose. Even though they might claim that I do really well in that space, this user is really smart that, you know, when you go for AS, you have to spend some money and you have to go for decent size solution. And CISPRO is definitely your beginner ERP solution.
But then again, GlobalShop or one of those products could very easily interface to Unipoint as well and have that same capability, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you are not going to have as much traceability. The intent of AS is that, you know, you are okay. Supposed to have the same security configuration. You know, again, if you are bypassing that or you are hiring an auditor who does not know what he or she is doing, then it's a different case. But the intent of AS is that your processes should be traceable end to end, and you are not going to get that traceability unless your product is completely connected from the accounting financial perspective. It's designed as sort of the financial product, and the whole idea of these you know, compliance, whether you talk about automotive industry, aerospace, they are mandating these compliance. So you reduce your risk from the vendor perspective, you reduce your risk from your planning perspective. And there's no way in the hell you are not going to be able to do the planning in solutions like Fishbowl or ProShop, or even though they might claim that.
Well, Sam, it's not only that they have to be traceable, they have to be documented to begin with.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, guys, so I'm actually going to move you know, forward with this one. So non-stocked configurable product production and management, which is a plus. This is where I found this to be really, really smart solution, especially in the ETO space, because they have a real problem. This is going to be only one solution, especially in the smaller category, that can do this. A lot of even the bigger products cannot do this. So this makes it ideal fit for the food and beverage and some of those smaller ETO categories that are not going to be heavy on services, that are not going to be heavy on assets, that are not going to be heavy on. So it's a huge plus for CISPRO. The hard client is old technology. It would be great if CISPRO move to a web-based platform. I don't know, this review is coming in somewhere in 2018, 2019 as well. I don't know whether this user did not move to the newer version or they were using the hard client. Seems like they still have that. The REST API is not as advanced. That's always a possibility. Not everything is going to be available as part of your REST API, but you should feel lucky that you at least have the REST API as part of CISPRO, because I don't know any other solution that actually provides the REST API in this category. You know, completely switching to SQL and getting rid of the DAT files. It's old technology, not secure, leaves room for data corruption. Exactly. That's exactly what we meant when we said that, you know, these old file systems are not good. Improving on the raw rule locking mechanism in the base code results in several instances where SQL has blocks and processes need to be killed. It's a crazy scenario, guys. So obviously, their technology is not as slick as we would like to see. The currently MRP modules and production scheduling modules do not handle this scenario very well. Seasonality is not covered as part of the MRP. Again, guys, you are buying the first product. Don't go hard on them. Okay, they are not supposed to provide you everything. So even if you are getting the MRP functionality as part of CISPRO, kudos to them, and in my opinion. This is not going to be your, you know, Enforce CSI. This is not going to be your Epicore. This is a very small solution, so be happy with what you get, because that's what you are paying for. Okay, does a lot right, but where they go wrong is brutal, and this is my risk. When I look at the technical risk, this is crazy scenario, especially, by the way, SysPro is on SQL Server now. If you look at the other product, if they really go wrong, then nobody can save you, guys. Literally, like, nobody can save you. It's going to be that bad. And that's what, at least in case of SysPro, they have figured this out. Users have figured this out, okay? Because they have gone through a lot more cycles in case of SysPro, but in case of ProShop, there are no second ERP users right now. I mean, they all are first-time buyers. So at least you have that in case of SysPro. Upgrades are very painful. There's a consistent complaint about the upgrades and patches, and the patching is always a challenge. So this is very consistent across the board. Everybody's complaining about patching. I don't know why the patching is so hard. SysPro allows you to heavily customize the core product with custom scripts. In my mind, you should not be customizing. Why are you customizing? It doesn't matter which ERP solution it is. Don't customize unless it is absolutely needed. Allows, you know, any product is going to allow, but that does not mean that you should go out of your way to just customize the product. As a result, a solid testing strategy is needed to make sure that all customizations are properly tested in your dev environment before deploying to production. Obviously, that's given with any software. Okay, so if you don't have money, you are buying SysPro. Okay, so don't go hard on yourself and don't go overboard, especially with the customization. If you are very rich, very large company, and you want customization, then go for the bigger product that are going to be slightly superior in supporting the development that you might require. We are unable to receive inventory in the prior period. This is a very tricky scenario, guys. I have not seen this, but this product was sold to construction, which they don't target. So somebody actually missold them. Okay. So now the construction guy is trying to actually update. And this is a very specific scenario in terms of the review. Okay. So what they are trying to do is they are trying to receive the inventory in the closed period. So Phil, I don't know if you have seen this before, but typically this would not be the usual scenario. You don't close the books unless everything is, all the transactions are closed.
Well, it's a process issue. It's not a software issue. If you close a period, you're closing it so that you're not going back and doing transactions. Some companies don't close the period formally in the ERP just so they can go back and tweak it. And sometimes they'll leave that for a long period of time, which I consider to be poor practice. But it's done. But the software is doing what it's supposed to do. You close your period. You shouldn't go back there and do transactions. You should make an adjustment in the new period, and note that what you did.
Yeah, and going back to the comment about, you know, SAP mindset, you know, and this being a financial product, a lot of people hate SAP, to be honest. And the reason why they hate SAP is because SAP does not allow you to do this either. Okay, they have a lot of restrictions. Okay, if your period is closed, you cannot do these crazy things. Okay, you can probably do that in your Infor Epicore, but SAP is not going to. And SysPro is probably created from the same mindset. They have far more financial control because this was a financial product to begin with.
Right, and I've had CFOs leave periods open all year because of that, and because of wanting to make adjustments. And it's not the right answer. The right answer is to learn how to make a proper adjustment into the system.
Could not agree more.
Well, just real quick, I think that you've hit it on it a couple times. I think it's so important. The comment that was made, I think, in the second last of the customer reviews was how hard it was to do a new version when you had all the customization. In between the lines, they bought inexpensive software. They did a lot of customization with it, and they ended up with something that was hard to handle at the end. You said it perfectly. Don't highly customize inexpensive software. If you really need that functionality, buy something that has it out of the box.
Exactly, Phil. I mean, by the time they customize it or whatever if they've done, they could have bought the more expensive one.
Yeah, and now they end up with all this downstream patch nonsense every time they're trying to move. I think it shows in those comments that and those are probably very smart people. They know their business, but that doesn't mean you've really studied ERP and selection of ERP and implementation of ERP.
A lot of these companies that buy these less expensive ones, and SysPro can be very inexpensive, need to justify their original decision to upper management by continually spending money to fix it, as opposed to saying, I made a mistake at the beginning.
Well, and some of that cost, let's face it, ends up getting buried, which is much easier to justify the higher up the chain than having to go back and either admit there was a mistake made on the, you know, initial discovery process, or you know, actually having to go in and correct what has already been, you know, what has already taken place.
For a company that's a strong distribution model with light manufacturing at some level, not 15 levels a bomb, but maybe one or two, maybe one level bomb, CISPRO is a great product. It's when you get into the complexities of a manufacturer where you might be forced to customize, and then you're in real trouble.
All this talk of customization, I'm envisioning an ERP Frankenstein.
Well, you know, the word custom is a four-letter word.
It absolutely is. And that's why they came up with configure. So you could have a B slot.
Personalize.
Personalize and configure so that you didn't say the C word.
That's
but
right.
you're able to do more than just out of the box functionality.
That's right.
Yeah, I'll kind of, you know, one thing that stood out to me in comparison to the other products that we have talked about on this panel so far, I will say, you know, they've done a good job of highlighting some more details as compared to some of the other product offerings that we've reviewed. And we touched on it kind of throughout this discussion, but I do appreciate some of the additional detail that they've made available to us versus some of the other products that we've looked at. So I wanted to point that out. I thought it was worth mentioning.
Hey, if you're dealing with CISPRO, or if you purchase CISPRO and you've got a good partner or VAR that knows what they're doing and understands your business inside and out, or as Sam suggested, dealing directly with CISPRO in California, it can be a really good tool.
And Sam, I wanted to just mention this briefly. When I was investigating the ERP website, their website, CISPRO website, I really appreciated that if I had any questions, I could immediately access a live person via chat. And I found that very helpful.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. All right, guys. So we are going to close. So thank you so much for joining today. On that note, thank you everyone for your time and insights.
Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thanks, Sam.
Bye.
I cannot thank our guests enough for coming on the show, for sharing their knowledge and journey. I always pick up learnings from our guests, and hopefully you learned something new today. If you want to learn more about Andy Pratico, head over to esoft.com. It's esoft.com. If you want to learn more about Phil Kerper, head over to ringlingbusinesssolutions.com. It's ringlingbusinesssolutions.com. If you want to learn more about Angela Thurman, head over to thurmanco.com. It's thurmanco.com. If you want to learn more about Dave Chrysler, head over to thechrysler.club. It's thechrysler.club. Links and more information will also be available in the show notes. If anything in this podcast resonated with you and your business, you might want to check other related episodes, including the interview with Andy Pratico, who discusses why ERP demos are designed to deceive and why ERP salespeople are more incentivized to sell their products than the success of their customers. Also, the interview with Rich Said, who describes his journey and the pitfalls of implementing 6 ERP projects throughout his career. Also, don't forget to subscribe and spread the word among folks with similar backgrounds. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please review and rate us on your favorite podcasting platform or DM me on any social channels. I'll try my best to respond personally and make sure you get help. Thank you, and I hope to catch you on the next episode of the WBS Podcast.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the WBS Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. For more information on growth strategies for SMBs using ERP and digital transformation, check out our community at wbs.rocks. We'll see you next time.